Welcome back to another segment of SharePoint Conference Television. I'm Kara Wanagatimu, and we are live here from the conference floor in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's an exciting place to be. So much great energy and thought leadership happening here. And today I have another guest, fabulous guest who I've known for years, Laura Rogers. She's going to share with us some information about being effective as a business user and creating these no-code solutions that I think you're famous for. Hi, Laura.
Hi, nice to see you again,
Nice to
Kara.
See you. You too. Nice to see you. Will you introduce yourself to the viewers for me?
I'm Laura Rogers, and I am a manager of SharePoint consultants at Rackspace Hosting. My background is I used to be a server admin. That's where I came from. And over the years, I started enjoying more working with the sort of power user type people, figuring out workflows for their sites and web parts and all that out-of-the-box stuff, those no-code solutions. And, you know, kind of moved away from the server admin. Logs and backups just weren't as much fun for me.
They're not that, you know, I really appreciate the people who do that, but I'm super happy that I don't have to.
Right.
Absolutely. I think you've always been in that space where you're, in some respects, closest to the user community because you're working directly with them to create these solutions that land business value. What's that like?
Well, closer to the user community, I guess I would say that I get a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of feedback from the customers that I work with. I still work on projects. I still, you know, help create those solutions. And using SharePoint for years, and even before that, I was an Access, you know, person.
Right.
I loved it. I see patterns, and I see things that people ask for all the time, and I see things that people like to do in SharePoint. So I think that the fact that, you know, kind of all those years of SharePoint helps me to understand more of what those end users are going through and understanding the sort of the patterns of typical things that they want to be able to do in SharePoint.
Exactly. And, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that, you know, being able to have that kind of business analysis in your mind, being able to map out processes is kind of an important part. But I know that, you know, you would really understand some of the best ways to gather requirements and to get those solutions to be valuable for the business. What's your experience in that, you know, that area?
What I see a lot of with I do a lot of forms and workflows.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see a lot of is, you know, people that want to automate a process. So what you end up with is someone in the business coming to you and handing you a piece of paper or a PDF,
yeah,
and saying, make this electronic. And then from that point on, you know, hey, it's like, hey, you can't just walk away and hand me the piece of paper. I need to ask you some more questions. So it, a lot of the times it takes a lot more conversations, and a lot of the times it surprises the business people as to all the information that you need from them when you're gathering those requirements. But it's, you really do need to sit down, and there are definitely some specific questions you need to know to ask.
Absolutely. And one of the things I love about the work you've always done is you're so good at documenting it for the rest of us,
thanks.
The rest of us don't have to figure all that out, right? You have a great blog. Can you tell us where that is?
It's wonderlaura.com.
Yeah, and I have been reading it for a long time, and it's on one of my favorites list because I think that those examples are really helpful. You've been out there doing it for a long time, and when you have the business sit down, do you work with them in a visual way? Do you make a diagram for them? How do you get them to understand what a workflow really is?
Absolutely. In some cases, they will attempt to, you know, do a diagram themselves. They'll have, you know, prepared that and have a diagram. And in a lot of cases, you know, you do sit down and kind of just have a conversation, or maybe even start over and kind of redefine things in a more technical way so that you can translate what they want to do over to how it would actually work in a workflow.
Right, right, exactly. Because those are sometimes two different things I have found out from personal experience.
You have to understand the logic as to, you know, if this happens, then where does it go or what? So there are a lot of questions to ask around, you know, what is the next thing that needs to happen, but who's the person involved in that? How do you define who that person is? Is that the person's manager? Is that information that's coming from Active Directory?
Right.
How are we going to find out who their manager is? Is the next approver going to be somebody that they just fill in a box? So, you know, I start talking about approvers, but a lot of the times, like, the form itself is the simplest part. It's just a bunch of text boxes and check boxes and date pickers or whatever it happens to be. It's when you start getting to what is the process the form needs to go through, where you really have a lot of information you need to know. So the person, if the form needs to get routed to the person's manager, how do you define that? If it needs to go to the CEO, how do you define who that person is? Now, you don't want to hard code people's names into your workflows or your forms. You want to be able to use something dynamic because, you know, people come and go. So it helps. A best practice is to use SharePoint groups. Mm-hmm. So that way in your workflow, you can just assign tasks to a SharePoint group. Even if there's just one person in it, it's a group called CEO. You can just add and remove people from it as they
I love that. That is a great best practice. And, you know, there's a lot of folks who have done workflows to individual people. And, you know, what even if that person goes out on maternity leave or, you know, they win the lottery and don't come back for a while, you know, that sort of thing. It's very important to follow those best practices. And you've got a lot of that information on your blog so that people can educate themselves about it. Another thing I've always really thought was cool was the fact that most of your solutions, if not all of them, you don't use Visual Studio, to the best of my knowledge, right?
No, I've never. The tools that I use are Workflows and SharePoint Designer, and you know currently the tool is InfoPath that I still use. InfoPath is going away. Not sure if you guys know that,
yes.
But it's not going away right this second, but it's kind of, you know, gradually being phased out. So there are going to be new tools that come along potentially, and it's just kind of adjusting yourself to, you know, use whatever works for the situation.
Absolutely, and that's a really good point. Even though InfoPath has, you know, is not going to be invested any longer, we'll continue to support it for 10 years. So over the course of 10 years, I think that we'll have a lot of changes.
It's a long time in technology.
It is. And there's actually another great segment that's going to publish on Channel 9 about the forms roadmap, which I shot today. So it's really very exciting what's going to come next. I don't think that the technology per se influences what you do that much, though. Isn't it more the work with the business that you focus on?
Right. So no matter which version of SharePoint that you have, the discussions that you're having with the business are going to be the same. So some of the other, so you're talking about how we sit down and map it out with a diagram. So as you're defining whatever this process happens to be, there are a lot of questions to ask about that process. Like, are we going to be sending email notifications to people along the way? Are we going to be assigning a task to people along the way? When you send an email, people will say, oh, well, just send the email to a manager to approve it. Well, tell me the verbiage of the email. Send me a list of what all the verbiage needs to be so that we can incorporate it in. They don't want you, the IT person or the SharePoint person, just guessing and making that stuff up, probably. So you have to ask what the verbiage needs to be. You have to ask about, and that's something that the business pretty much never thinks about, is what is the user interface going to look like? What is the site going to look like when people go to this form and participate in this process? When you want to fill out a new form, what button do you click? Where do you end up after you fill out that new form?
Yep.
Can you get to your form later after you filled it out? And are going to be certain people that are going to be the administrators of all the forms that are being submitted? And, you know, kind of what is the overall solution going to look like in the browser? There are great tools like Balsamiq for mockups that you can actually create mockups around these things so that it's not so vague, because once the business starts seeing what you're referring to and understanding, oh, we do need to actually think this through, then they'll start getting ideas. A lot of the times it's kind of up to you, the SharePoint person, to just kind of make something up in a mockup. And then once they see it, they start getting ideas.
Absolutely. I think that visual way of communicating is so important. And that was one of my first big projects in SharePoint many years ago was a workflow.
Oh.
You know, it was converting a paper form that no one could ever find and was super important, you know. And there was a lot of those questions that business had not really thought about. And your blogs would have helped me more back then in 2004 or whatever it was. So I think that's another piece too. People don't have to go through and figure this out by themselves, right? We're out here. We're willing to help them.
Right.
And, you know, you've been so great in the community. I think that you're a great resource for that. And I know people must come up and ask you questions all the time. You do speak a lot also, which is great.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And are there other ways that you share your information with people?
Well, funny that you should ask that. Some coworkers and I have a presentation that we do every Wednesday at 11 Central. We broadcast live on YouTube. It's called SharePoint Power Hour. And what we do is we use... we're business solutions. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of, you know, talk about anything that in SharePoint that's not custom code or, you know, hardcore server admin type topics. So there are a lot of things that fall under that category. There's BI, there's forms, workflows, user adoption, governance, like many, many things. So every week we just have a different topic. We'll do demos, have discussions, and in that live YouTube stream, people can make comments and ask questions as we go, and we'll answer the questions as we go. And
absolutely.
Also, since it's on YouTube, they're all recorded and they stay in there, so you can go watch. We've done probably about 30 at this point by now.
That's great content. And I love video because I think it captures more of a dynamic conversation, and you know, you can go back and look at it later. It's there for reference. Right. People can see it much later and ask you a new question. Mm-hmm. You'll get alerted to that comment. It's very social.
Yes.
Right? It's very social.
Right. A funny one we did was Halloween. Halloween Day, SharePoint Horror Stories. You guys have to go watch that one.
I'm definitely going to watch that one. I might have to contribute next year for sure. Absolutely. One of the other things, too, that I think people miss, you mentioned the user interface of the main site, but also what happens when everything is done? Do you walk them through that?
The life cycle of the form. Again, one of those things that people tend to not think about when they hand you that piece of paper. So sit down and define this. So say, you know, a year after this form has been submitted, what is it going to be archived? Is it going to stay in the library? How many are we going to end up with? Are we going to have thousands of these? And you kind of have to think about what's going to happen to that thing and how long you need to keep it. Also, at the end of the process, once the whole thing has been approved or and the process is complete or it's rejected, does the form get locked down to read-only?
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, can they still get to it later? If it gets rejected, do they have to start all over? And then, you know, again, where does it go? And security is another part of that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, when people fill out a form, can they see other people's forms? Do you need to lock them down with item level permissions, which is kind of hairy?
Yeah, right.
Or do you need to just kind of obfuscate things and say, well, I'm not going to let them have this view that contains all the other items? And just kind of think through, like, how secure it actually needs to be versus maybe just making things so they don't necessarily see them.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And also, because you mentioned item level security, and those of us who have been around a long time know that that's not the greatest idea to suggest to folks, but people sometimes have a lot of fear when you start automating processes. That piece of paper made them comfortable.
That's true.
They understood it. They knew what happened to it. Mm-hmm. And it's only when they begin to see that, no, they don't actually know what happens to that piece of paper, that they begin to warm up to it. How do you have that conversation about security and archiving and what have you? You presented it as decisions, but I'm sure you're giving them some guidance also.
Well, kind of what you said about people, you know, being, you know, comfortable with the piece of paper, they're also comfortable with, like, the visibility that they have into the whole process.
Mm.
So what I've done in that case is, you know, people were used to knowing who they're sending the form to or knowing who, and I had the form so automated that all that stuff was just built into the form and no one saw it. So they would submit something and hope that it went to their manager, but they weren't sure. So there are a lot of things you can do to kind of make that visible, like give them a people picker maybe, if that's what the business is comfortable with, so that they can physically see who they're submitting it to. A lot of times you might want to lock it down so they can't really change it or whatever, but so kind of make that more visible to them. But then, you know, and a lot of times what you're talking about with security, they might not necessarily know or have thought about that. So social security numbers, HIPAA, patient information, those are things that might need to be super secure versus something that you can just hide. So talk to them about what that content is and how important it is to make sure that, you know, if someone can kind of finagle a URL and find another item in a list, would that be dangerous?
Exactly. And I've been always surprised how things that I don't think about personally as needing any security, like a travel request. For me, I put in a lot of them. It's
Who cares,
not a big
right?
deal.
Yeah.
Everybody knows where I am. If you don't know where I am, that's because you're not following me on Twitter and you didn't see my check-in. So I'm very transparent about that from a social perspective, but not everybody is. And so being able to also respect kind of the user's space, to me that seems to add a layer of complexity.
It does. It does. And when you get to the point where, you know, people want to have approvals that are done, but usually I just kind of build the form so that, you know, anybody can open it, but whenever the person clicks the approve button, it records that person's name and the date. Well, technically anybody could open that form and click the button, but you're going to know who it was because you're recording their name. But in some cases, it might be so secure that they might want it so that you can't even see the approve button unless you're that specific person.
Exactly.
And that takes a lot more work, especially in something like InfoPath. It's
right.
It's possible, but it's just a lot of logic, and you have to really think about kind of how that's going to work and what the sort of conditions are around that, and how are you going to know who the currently logged in user is, what are you going to compare it to, and what are you going to show them or disable. So
right.
That's, you know, that's several more hours of whatever that project would be if you wanted to go to that length.
Go to that depth. Yeah. And you know, you're using a lot of terms because you have this depth of knowledge in this space, but people can also start off, you know, easy. You know, they can start off slow, right? And then
right.
build their capabilities as they're more comfortable with these
right.
tools, right?
Right. I mean, their SharePoint lists are pretty, you know, are pretty simple, and there's a simple button to customize it in InfoPath if you want to. So if you start out with that, they make it really easy with your controls and your columns being available to just drag onto the form, whatever the form product happens to be.
Yes.
But Microsoft is good at making that part easy. I think that when you start getting into business processes, though, and all the little nuances, and the business starts giving you all these crazy exceptions and giving you all these, oh, well, if it's this type of pipe expense report, it needs to go this way, but if it's another type, it has to, that's when, you know, you end up spending a lot of time and making it super complex, or you tone the business back and have a little conversation with them and say, hey, yeah. you know, I'm not gonna do that. We need to talk about this and say, hey, let's simplify it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Don't be afraid to try and talk to them about that.
That's an excellent point. Pushing a little bit back on business, because sometimes they've a paper or manual process has evolved difficulty over time that isn't actually a business requirement. It's just how everybody's always done it. This is an opportunity to rethink those processes, and
right.
you really get to lead that with them.
And
right?
a lot of the times when you start automating it and they see it and they start using it, they'll realize, oh, well, I used to, you know, if it was Monday and the wind was blowing west, Adam over here would get the form, you know.
It's true.
So,
it's exactly.
And then after you put it in production, they start realizing all these little things, but it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, you know, it's working fine the way it is. Do we really want to spend another, you know, 40 hours trying to build in this all this crazy logic for this other thing?
Right, right, exactly, yeah. And then do you take it that other step forward? Do you provide like an administrator dashboard sometimes, or just, you know, because you talked about how many forms and where they're at mm-hmm. and what stage they might be at uh-huh. in the approval process. Is there a great way to show
yes.
that information?
There's a way that I commonly do it with my clients. And, you know, for example, I have a couple of clients that have a forms portal. So everybody in the company knows to go to forms.contoso.com or whatever it happens to be, and then all the forms are in libraries in there. So what I've done is I've created a library with web part pages in it. I've called these the admin pages. So each, it's just an ASPX, it's just a web part page, but each of these pages contains a view of whatever that library happens to be with all the items showing. So I've locked down each individual library to only have the My Documents view. So just the default view, users can see stuff that they've submitted. They don't have the ability, I've taken away with permissions, the ability for them to create any other views,
right.
and there aren't any other views. So that way, if they just go straight to the library, that's all they see.
Mm-hmm.
But for the admin dashboards, all these ASPX pages, I've used security on them.
Yeah.
So I've created a SharePoint group, like travel request admins, new hire request admins, etc. And each of those SharePoint groups contains a list of people that can be an admin for that form. And then I use SharePoint permissions on each of these web part pages so that when they go to the admin pages library, they only see the ones that they can be the admin for. And that's just sort of my way. People ask about like security on views all the time. It's not really an out-of-the-box functionality, but that's my way of creating like an admin view.
And that's why you're an expert in this field. That was totally fascinating. I keep saying it. I'm such a geek because I love this stuff. But I love it because of how it really changes people's lives. If you really take, you've seen this, you know, taking somebody from their paper west wind blowing document to something where they can visit an admin page and have that transparency and see what business process automation actually does for them. I mean, it's a great, they're happy
efficiency,
people.
Yes.
You make people happy, Laura.
Aww.
You do. It's so important. I love that, though. You know, and things are going to continue to change with the technology. We know that. But this core business analysis capability and these no-code solutions are going to persist because they're based on the same things that the people are always going to need to do. My boss is always going to have to approve my travel request, you know,
that's true.
Or something, you know, whatever that happens to be. And the more complicated they get, you know, the more people will need them. Have you had to deal with mobile views very much?
I haven't,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's a difficult, it's part of it, but I know there's still more things, and I know that there's partners who think about it. But
some people fill out InfoPath forms on their iPads, and that seems to work, and like SharePoint list form seems to work fine on those.
I like that. I certainly have done that in the past.
There are a couple of little browser nuances with if you start using like a multiple line of text field in InfoPath, it doesn't really work with some browsers. So little tiny things like that.
Glitches, but. Yeah. You know, there's always a little something, but overall, it's a great scenario. Right. And I know our viewers are going to love going to your blog at wonderlaura.com. I think they can also find you via sharepoint.rackspace.com also, right?
Yes, that's our website. And I've done a couple of presentations at this conference. Jennifer Mason and I did one just right before you and I sat down, and we have a Thursday half-day session, 4 hours. And all the resources that from our sessions that we're going to be talking through are listed on sharepoint.rackspace.com/SPC. So we have a huge list of hyperlinks that people can go and read more about the things that we talk about in our sessions. And my coworkers have resources there, too, about their sessions as well.
That's excellent. Well, good. Well, we'll make sure to put that in the description so everybody can find it. And we'll get your session IDs, too, so people can go and also see those segments on Channel 9 once your presentation materials, once they're uploaded, which is really exciting. And they can also find you on Twitter at WonderLaura.
Yep.
Absolutely. So thank you, WonderLaura, for a wonderful session. We appreciate it. It's another great opportunity to learn more from all of the people who were here at the SharePoint conference. I'm really excited. It's great that the conference content is going to be available on Channel 9 as well. And so make sure you go out there and continue the conversation. There's a beautiful amount of time after the conference. Maybe you're going to be on a plane. Maybe you'll be back at your desk and you want to follow up with some of the people here that you've learned from. So that'll all be available to you. I'm Kara Wanigatimu from Microsoft IT. Thanks for joining us today in SharePoint Conference Television. Go out there this evening and have a good time, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.